Welcome to Motherhood, new mother trucker. Buckle up. Welcome to the 9th episode of New Mother Trucker. I am your host, Carlene, and today I have my friend as a co-host, Tila, joining me today. How's it going?
Hello, good morning. I'm good.
Thank you so much for coming on again. The reason why I wanted to reach out was because you are, I feel like, one of the few people on social media that are actually honest about this whole process through motherhood. And I know both of our little ones were born in the same year, but yours is almost two.
Two in January.
Yeah. Mine just will turn one tomorrow.
Oh my gosh, tomorrow.
I know. So it's kind of crazy how like they were in the same year, but like so much development wise is so different. But that being said, like you were one of the first people that I knew that got pregnant and had a kid first. And then just reflecting on the last year, there's so many other women who are our age-ish who are pregnant or have babies now. So it's just changed a lot.
Yeah, it's starting for sure.
Yeah. And I actually do remember you coming to me during your postpartum for a massage appointment. And you were very like open and just kind of like just talked about, you kind of like shoot the shit with me, which I appreciated. And I was pregnant. I haven't told anyone actually.
Yes,
I haven't announced it.
Newly, like a few weeks.
Yeah, I think I announced it actually that night after talking to you.
Did you?
I did. And I remember you were just talking about your little one and the things that you had to do. And to be honest, you talked about co-sleeping with me. And
yes,
at that time, I was
passionate about co-sleeping.
I was pregnant and did not know how hard postpartum was going to be. So honestly, I was like, co-sleeping in my head, co-sleeping, it's unsafe. I will never do that. And now fast forward to me now, I totally had to fucking do it. Teaser alive. And I actually reflected on all those moments of me being pregnant and judging other moms and new moms. I feel like a bag of shit for doing it because at the end of the day, I did not know.
You didn't know. You don't know until you know.
You don't know. And people can prepare you and talk to you about this is what happened to me or blah, blah, blah. But you actually don't know until you're in it yourself.
100%. And I was the same about breastfeeding too. I was like, I'm only going to breastfeed till 6 months. Then he's good. Right. And he's two in 2 months and we're still exclusively breastfeeding. He's never had a bottle or anything like that. And I'm really passionate about co-sleeping and extended nursing, but co-sleeping was something that I think we in Western culture where we think it's bad and it's feared. And I think a lot of, well, I know that a lot of moms, particularly new moms, struggle so much with sleep and feel this like external pull to not do it, right? To not co-sleep. And in turn, you know, it causes her distress. But she thinks she's doing, and you know, I respect everyone's decisions, but like, if it's like in your core, you're like, I can't do this, but I have to, it's not right. Right. Yeah. But it's just the notion that, you know, they have to be sleeping on their own to be safe. And there's actually so much literature, about how co-sleeping is like actually prevents SIDS in many ways too. And many Eastern cultures co-sleep. It's very normal.
Yeah. So
it's a Western thing.
It is a Western thing. And I didn't know any of this kind of co-sleeping tech, whatever it is, until actually, okay, I need to do it. How can I do it safely? And sure, the first couple nights that I did do it, did I really sleep?
No.
No, I did rest my eyes. And it was nice to rest my eyes. Yeah. But you get more comfortable. You get more confidence. You know what you're doing. At the end of the day, is safe and what's best for you and your family. Like I was functioning on broken up 2 to 3 hours of sleep every night. Like how
you can't,
how, and then you expect the mom to take care of the kid. How is that possible?
Well, and your husband works shift work, right? Yeah. And so for us as well, like our whole family got more sleep that way. Right. And you know, that was a weird time for my husband and I. Like, honest to God, I was like, get the fuck out. Like, your bags are packed out the door. You know, like, it was such a rocky, I don't know if rocky is the right word, but like on your marriage, bringing your child home in those first few months. I mean, even still, right? But like, it's no joke.
No, it's not.
It is no joke. And my, like, my husband struggled too, right? With his lifestyle adjustment as well. So one of the things that was really impacting him was he was tired. And then I was like defensive. I was like, yeah, well, you're tired. You know, we want to one up them, right?
Yeah.
Like, cause it's like, we're not feeling seen, I think, or we're feeling like our partner isn't acknowledging that when that's not the case. Right. But then we can get into that one upping.
Yeah. And it's a competition.
It's not good. Right. Yeah. It doesn't solve anything. And so he was so tired and he was like, I see you and I get it. Like, I know you're up, you're nursing, you're doing all of the things. But I have to be at work.
Yeah.
Right. I have to be there at 7 a.m. I've got a crew to run, you know, a job to take care of. You don't. And so he was like, and he didn't say it in a rude way, but at that point I was like, you're right. Like, I don't have to, you know, when I think about me getting ready for work, right? He's like, get up, do my makeup, have the coffee, have like a little bit of peace, and then, you know, get dressed and all the things, right? Like, to do that and be somewhere on time would be really hard on very minimal sleep.
Yes.
So at that point I was like, you're right. And then, so I actually took over majority of the nighttime wakeups at that point too. Cause at first like we were sharing and I wanted it to be equal. And I had to let go of that and really step into that like feminine maternal role, right? Of like, yes, I wanted him to have a bond with our son and yes, you know, I wanted help. And, but like as a nursing, he what could he do? Right. Like, mind you, my husband was way
useless.
Yes, exactly. My husband was way better at swaddling him and whatnot. So that was great. But anyway, when we did that and transitioned to the co-sleeping, those wake ups were quicker.
Yeah.
Do you remember? Like, it's like, okay, a whole hour, you know, you wake the baby up. Usually they're pooping in the night too. And then you like unswaddle them because he was in a bassinet for a little bit. It was like, unswaddle him, change him, do it all again, nurse it. And, you know, it was like a long time too, right? And you're latching, you're trying to figure that out. So anyway, once we started co-sleeping, it was so easy.
Yeah.
And we all got more sleep.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I woke up. I still woke up multiple times, right? But it was so easy. And then I became really passionate about that as well as breastfeeding because I have like lots of thoughts on that too. But so many moms are struggling with nursing and co-sleeping because they're told like, you need this, this, and this to do it. You need to pump, you need to supplement formula, you need to, you know, have this bassinet and this swaddle and all of this stuff. It's like, Jesus.
Be like, this is going to fix this, buy this, and this
buy
is
this,
fix.
Buy this.
I remember one middle of the night, I online shopped so much in the middle of the night.
Yes. Stress shopping, and you're up and you're like Googling what's going to fix this.
So I bought, I remember, a weighted sleep sack because it improved, in quotes, sleep. So I fucking bought it and I remember receiving it, cutting off the tag, washing it. I put it on our son and my husband's like, what the fuck are you doing? I'm like, oh, I just, the website said it improved sleep. I need more sleep. I really hope this helps him sleep better, like, or sleep throughout the night or whatever. And he's like, well, do you think this is safe? I'm like, well, they're selling it online. If it's not safe, it wouldn't be like, they wouldn't be selling it. And he's like, let's ask our doctor just to make sure that it's okay. So we did. And she's like, I would prefer if you don't use a weighted like sleep sack, even though it's not a lot of weight. And I just like reflected on it. And I'm like, did I really just buy like a product just to fix it? Like, I know it's not gonna fix it overnight, and I just kind of like fell into that vulnerability of new moms, like with things all the time.
Yes.
And there was another time too, my husband and I were up in the middle of the night and he's like, I have this new bassinet in the cart right now, do we want to buy it? I'm like, okay, like, back up, do we have $1,500? Like,
oh, was it a snoo?
Yeah, to drop. I was like, let's reflect on the morning and see how we do.
Yeah.
Right. And we were like, why fucking spend so much money?
I know.
You know what I mean? I know. But it's like, at that time we were like, here's our money. Take it.
Yeah.
If we are going to get an extra, 10 minutes of sleep, take my money.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that time comes and goes.
Oh yeah.
even though you're, even though you're in it, it feels so long, but it comes and goes.
And you mentioned like fix it, right? Like what's going to fix it? And that's what, that's the narrative, right? It's like, you have to fix it. It's like, no, they're not broken.
Yeah.
Like we don't need to fix them. They just need their mom. And I worked with a doula for a little bit, like before, they actually didn't make it to my birth and my birth was crazy. And I actually just didn't want anyone else there. But was with her after as well. And she put it, the way she said this, I'll never forget. And I share it with other moms or new moms particularly, is like, they would, there's another stage of pregnancy / postpartum. And it's like that fourth trimester for mom and baby. And humans, we actually give birth to our kids. We're like the only ones that do, before they're really ready, if you will, right? They would much rather be on the inside for another 12 weeks. Like they don't want to be out, right? And so that's why they want to be on you, close to you, right? Like they'd much rather be back inside. They didn't want to come out that early. So that's where we have this like narrative of get your baby independent, get them sleeping, you know, get them on a bottle, all of that stuff. Whereas really we need to change that narrative and let mom just be mom.
And empower
them. Yes.
Women's choice. I did come up from not following what society should say, but I remember when I was pregnant, I'm like, I do not want to be crazy about wake windows, about his sleep, about sleep training. Here I am now to sleep training actually saving me and my family and able to sleep throughout the night because we struggle so much with it. Not to say that this is what people like, this is what society has told me to do, but just in an opposite sense kind of thing. But I did get backlash as in like, oh, you're sleep training your son. This is what's going to happen. This is the negatives that are come from it. It's just like, this is what our family needs right now. And it helped us tremendously now kind of thing. But it's just like, can we just focus on mom, support mom, and empower them in the choices that they're going to make kind of thing.
I think the biggest thing with that too is like, is that gut instinct.
Yeah.
Right. Cause that never lies. So if, you know, if that decision to sleep train, like didn't feel like a hell yes to you, right. Then that wasn't the right choice. Yeah. But if in your gut, you knew that that was going to be better for your family and your son, then that is the right choice.
Yeah.
And there were so many times in the beginning where I was ignoring my gut.
Yeah.
And it never worked out.
Was it because it's like, I guess it was like a fear of judgment kind of thing, or what kind of sense
it was? I don't think I ever had a fear of judgment as a mother, but it was, just the inexperience.
Yeah.
And the influence of like doctors don't really know shit about breastfeeding. They don't, right? They don't really know.
I think my understanding is that they probably have like a 1 or 2 hour course in their entire degree of their 9 years of schooling to cover such a large topic. Yes, right?
I agree. I totally agree. And like, and we can't expect them to be an expert in it, right? They're a GP or whatever they are, I guess, specializing in, you know, the doctors at like Lexador, they're not just GPs, they're something else.
Like OBGYNs.
They have an additional, but like even then, it's not an expert in breastfeeding. And that is something that drives me nuts, seeing people like believing, I feel like so many women believe a narrative that isn't necessarily true. Right. I don't have the supply.
Is it because it's coming from a higher up kind of thing?
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Like we've been nursing for eons, you know, like if there were really that many issues and things we had to buy, there would not be very much of people on the planet, right? Yeah. Babies being nurtured and being nursed, which is like vital for at least a year. So that's something I'm like, is that broken? Like, does that need fixing? Or is that just another thing to sell somebody and, you know, tell them that they need to do something or try something else instead of support them in the nursing process? And then, and then like we could go down the whole other rabbit hole of like the way we raise babies now is far more different. Like the village isn't there. So when we think about like way back when, you know, peasants are out hunting and gathering or whatever, right? And and then there was all the women with the babies. There was a community there, right? And there was women that could help with latching and could hold the baby, right? Hold the baby to sleep and, like, you know, support mom because there was nothing to buy. And they made it work. So so I really think that the, you know, babies haven't changed, but the way we live has.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't expect them to keep up with it.
Mm-hmm.
We just can't. And I think that that can result in mothers going against their most natural instincts, which is not empowering.
Yeah.
It's actually not at all.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And what effect does that have on a woman?
Anxiety, depression, fear of everything, like so much else comes from it.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of women probably experience that through postpartum.
Oh, yeah.
Not having the support or empowerment from family, friends, society, or whatever to tell them these are the things you have to do in a certain way in order to succeed when it's not like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
100%.
It's crazy. Actually, I have a colleague who she's getting her master's right now and she's doing a course. Oh my God, I'm not going to do it justice. And I know when she's going to listen to this, she'll be like, that's not it. But, we talked about breastfeeding and she said that babies actually have receptors to actually crawl up to your chest.
Yes.
Did I know that before?
From birth.
Yeah. No. So what we do is right after delivery, we shove them on our tit to feed when essentially they have these receptors to actually crawl up to your breast to feed naturally.
Mm-hmm.
Things like we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then what happens in between that, right? Like I didn't bathe my son for a week.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't. But what happens in between that, right? Okay. Like we could go like way, way, way into this and be like, okay, well they're born in a sterile environment. And then they're, what they did like for our parents, I think they were still like nurseries.
Yeah, actually, that's very true.
That's like insane to me, right? Like imagine,
mom
just needs a rest. We're going to take the kid and wrap them up in something they've never, ever, like a foreign material, wrap them up in that and put them in a friggin', you know, acrylic bassinet.
You know, like this little incubator.
With a bunch of other freaking babies in there with these women. Like, what? Like, that's not that old.
No, it's not. I think probably I was born with jaundice, so for sure I was in nursery thing. But that wasn't that long ago.
No, like that was normal.
But normal.
Now we know, like, no, we need the golden hour. And even then, like I skipped a lot of the stuff when he was born because I held off on all of those immediate things to hold him. Right. So I feel like our generation, we're going back to much more like, I guess I could use the word primal ways of giving birth and raising babies.
And I think too that our generation is now recognizing that we can talk about it kind of thing. Cause I know my mom has listened to this and she's like, it's so nice that you guys are finally talking about it. Because when I was raising you as a kid,
really,
no one talked about it. No one talked about postpartum depression or anxiety or struggles or challenges because you get deemed on from society. You're crazy, you need help, or like kind of like it's a very negative feedback kind of thing. And I know my mom talked about this one female actress who talked about her postpartum depression. The name escapes me, and I think out of all people, Tom Hanks made fun of her for going through. And I feel like I need to look at this article and I need to write into this description. But it was a celebrity talk about her postpartum depression years and years ago. And she got lashed out from it.
What?
And made fun of it. So why would people talk about it when they don't get support or the resources and get made fun?
Yeah. Then you have to look at it from just like such an obvious standpoint too. Like the hormonal fluctuation after having a child and you know, a developing fetus inside of you to not, it's not the same. You're not the same, right? Like I think your hormones go back to baseline years.
That's what I've heard too.
At least 1 year.
Yeah. And science is now showing that like you are now a different person as a mom.
Yes.
I 100% believe it.
For sure. I 100% believe it. And I also heard that like our generation is actually breastfeeding the most.
Good. Nice. That's nice.
Although much more than like our parents and their parents' generation.
Yeah.
Like, we're going back to that.
Huh.
Yeah.
I wonder what is changing.
And this was information. We should put her information in your description too. It's Andrea from Harbor City Doulas.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
There was a point in time, I don't know if it was our parents' generation or their parents' generations, where doctors actually convinced women that their like formula was superior and was gonna give their babies more nutrients than their breast milk.
I feel like that is triggering something from what I remember. Yeah.
To be paid, like, because the formula companies,
yeah,
you know, there's a financial incentive there.
Yeah.
And so they're like, oh my God. And I feel like that generation too was also like, what's that saying? Like white coat syndrome of,
yeah.
It, like my parents are like that. It's like, oh, the doctor said to do this, but we told you this 5 years ago, right? Like,
yeah.
Yes. But like, there's some generations that are much more inclined to listen to the person in the white coat.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. I think it's that safety feature. Yes. As in like, my doctor said it's fine. I can do it
yes.
this way. And I'm totally like that though sometimes too.
Sometimes.
Well, being a new mom, having no idea what mm-hmm. I'm doing, there was a lot of phone calls to the doctor. Mm-hmm. And maybe that was me just being like, what, a hypochondriac? Just like worrying about everything. But you kind of like just learn as you go and just mm-hmm. know like this is normal and this is fine. And he'll get through it or whatever. Mm-hmm. But no, I think you're right that there is a sense where people feel like safety.
Yes.
When it comes from a doctor.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's okay to question. It's okay mm-hmm. to ask questions. It's okay to rebuttal a little bit mm-hmm. because at the end of the day, you got to do what you got to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it needs to be your choice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's what you said. Like it needs to be your choice.
Yeah.
That's the most important thing.
I know like with my birth, my doctor was just so phenomenal about like, this is your story. This is your journey. I am here to support you with what any way you want to do. Long story short, we had an ultrasound. We found out the cord was wrapped around mm-hmm. my little one's neck 3 times. So she said, if it feels better for you, you can opt in to get a C-section. I'm like, that wasn't my plan,
mm-hmm.
but I do like having that as a backup,
mm-hmm.
knowing that the cord was wrapped around his neck.
Right, because pushing it can tighten it, right?
Anyways, right. She schedules me to one of the surgeons. Waited for an hour for the appointment. I go in and the doctor was like, I talked to my other colleagues and we're not scheduling you a C-section. You can do this vaginally. And I just remember crying.
Yeah.
Because I was like, she just took away my choice as in like a safety backup because I don't know what's going to mm-hmm. come of this with the mm-hmm. cord. And I just felt literally powerless. And I remember crying. My husband was looking at me mm-hmm. and the doctor was like, gather yourself before we continue. And I just looked at my husband. I'm like, we have to go. I'm like, this is not what
was
we came for.
Were you going to be
It was just
induced?
Not to be oh, induced. Okay. This was just to schedule a C-section appointment.
Okay.
Just to talk to
so
the surgeon who's
like
going to do it.
Something weeks.
I was like 30. I was close to 39.
Okay. Okay.
Because I think that weekend anyways, I went into I went into emergency because I didn't feel any movement
mm-hmm.
just to find out that like he was getting like his heart rate was going down. So I okay. ended up in a C-section anyways that weekend, like an
okay.
emergency one.
Okay.
But I don't know, like you don't know what to expect for your first time.
No.
Right. And,
no. Yeah. And I also had an huge emotional breakdown. And like, we could do a whole other episode talking about birth stories, right? And I was really when I was pregnant, I was like, nope, no interventions. He's coming on his own, no sweeps. I don't want any of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still very much like, no medical intervention. I'm gonna find out, make my opinion on this first before I, you know, go with what your recommendation is, or you know, I'm very, very conservative like that. And
you
really,
like to do your own research.
Yes, I really protect my like gut instinct, that maternal instinct. And so that was hard for me when I was induced, because I did have, you know, and I'm not like anti-medicine at all, right? I'm not, but I did have to let go of those beliefs that I had about like him coming on his own, it's fine, because I was going into the zone of preeclampsia.
Yeah.
And it was a lot. And what you also don't realize before you have your child is that it's a, that, you know, 24, 48, 72 hours of actually getting them here is wild.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't really know many people who had it go as planned and normal, right? And there's mm-hmm. there was so much back and forth for me. Like, I think it was 12 times we were back and forth to the hospital. And that's very normal too. Like, you don't think that.
I know.
We're like, oh, okay, yeah, like, pack the car up again. It's yeah. just like, and then that's normal now, right?
Yeah.
And my what I pictured was taken away. Yeah. Well, I still had a vaginal birth and all that, but it was like an induction.
Yeah.
An induction. And like, we could talk about inductions on a whole other episode, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't know what the hell that was.
Yeah.
And why. And like, you know, that was nothing I ever yeah. thought about. So I think that would have been helpful. But it was like a feeling of, no, I don't need help, right? Mm-hmm. He's going to come on his own. But having to kind of lean into, nope, this is actually, you know, could be higher risk, not as much benefit to letting him come on his own than yeah. to getting him out right now.
Yeah.
And so that was really hard for me, and like huge, huge emotional breakdown on the way yeah. home. Like, just because you're just holding all of these plates
yeah.
and thinking all about it, and it really feeling like you're at mercy to the doctors at that point, right? When yeah. when you're in an area of like a cord or preeclampsia or yeah. you know,
emergencies,
positioning of the baby, emergencies, yeah.
Yeah. yeah,
that was a hard thing for me to like actually lean into and be like, okay, yeah,
this is what we need to do.
Yes.
Opposite of what I wanted.
Yes.
This is what we needed.
You have no control.
No, it's hard. Well, even to like to decide for the emergency C-section, all the doctors and nurses were just phenomenal. They're like, we're going to support what you want. If you want an induction tonight, tomorrow morning, mm-hmm. C-section, if you want to wait, let us know. I'm like, no, I want someone to tell me what to fucking yes. do now.
Yes. Yes.
So another surgeon came in, phenomenal doctor. He's like, I would do a C-section tonight. I'm like, that's what we're going to do. I'm like, I need someone just to make that point because I am emotional. I am tired.
Yes.
I am frustrated, confused, all these emotions that are just running through.
Because the plan changed 500 times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Plan changed. I'm like, I didn't want a C-section. I didn't like the idea of being open on a table and not move.
And you probably never thought about it.
I did think about it because I was like, I did not want it.
Right. Okay.
In that sense.
Yeah.
Kind of like, right. But, and I'm like, I didn't want to be not able to do anything for 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, I would do it over again if I had the choice.
Mm.
If it was the choice to make, have my baby here safe, I would do it again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the surgeon said himself too, he was like, even if you would have tried vaginally, you would have ended up in a C-section.
Really?
Anyways. Yeah. The cord was wrapped around his neck 4 times.
Holy.
So they said it's normal, not normal. I will not use the word normal. It's common yes. 1 in 3 times, but the amount of times that was wrapped around his neck, that was not normal.
Okay. So yeah. then pushing, it could have caused
yes.
it to... Right. It yeah. was fine. He was okay in your belly, but
yeah.
the process of pushing him out.
Yeah. He was trying to descend, I guess, into my pelvis, and that's right. what was causing the heart rate to drop.
Got it.
Yeah.
Got it.
But so, yeah.
Yeah. And then at that point, it's like, okay, let's just get him out.
Yep. I'm like, I'm fucking done with this.
Yeah.
I loved being pregnant. I loved my journey of pregnancy, despite aches, pains, and not sleeping. I loved it. I would do it again.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm. I didn't love being pregnant.
No.
No.
I know. I remember watching your
the
stories.
End was awful.
On Instagram, and you dealt with pain, like back pain,
nerve pain, and back pain.
Yeah,
yeah. yeah.
How's your ribs? Is that something?
They're a little flared still.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like I know there's physio exercises I could do, but it's not. I don't look the same.
Mm-hmm. I know my boobs are so.
Oh, I'm getting my boobs done immediately.
I want to get my boobs done too. I like
immediately, like as soon as I'm done here, seeing them, getting them done.
Like after when I'm done, kids.
I made a joke the other day. I was like, I don't care if I have to make a choice of like paying something, like paying an important bill or like take my family somewhere. Like, I'm choosing those first.
My husband looked at an old photo of me. He's like, wow, you had really great boobs.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, thank you. Thank you. Like, I don't know. I don't know what to say. He's like, don't worry. I like them now. I'm like, I get it.
No. And Ben made a comment too. I was like, I was a joke. I was joking. Disclaimer. I was like, should I get my nose done? And it was like, I was joking. And he's like, if anything, get your boobs done. I was
like, thanks.
Fuck you. Thank like, what you. Does that mean? Like, he's like, well, they're fine, but like, they're different. And I was like,
Mm-hmm. They can't. But, yeah, but I know they can't.
I can't get that.
I know.
Like, I feel the exact same way.
I'm just I've like never had them so droopy ever in my life.
Yeah.
And
when I was like when I was nursing in the beginning, you had lots way more milk, right?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this isn't. What does everyone complain about?
I know, because they're nice and full.
I was
all
like,
the time.
These are. This is crazy. But you don't really like. Expect them to not be like that anymore. You think they don't go back to the same. Sorry, everyone. They
just, don't.
They probably
your
won't.
Boobs change. Yeah. I know I had a friend who was like, I can't wait until after I give birth that they're going to be nice and big. I'm like, no, no, no. Just you wait until you're further down the line.
Yeah. They were too big for... I didn't like how big my boobs were.
Mm-hmm.
To wear... Like, I hated... Wearing like I didn't hate wearing clothes, but like finding clothes to wear, that was really I was really hard for me actually. A new body, like nothing fit me properly, and I didn't feel good.
Yeah,
I really didn't. It took me, and we could do a whole other episode on postpartum too, but it took me like 6 months to really find my stride and like get into a good routine and
because you're still breastfeeding, because you burn a lot of calories breastfeeding.
Oh yeah, I was.
Did you find yourself just like dropping weight? Like
I did. Oh my God. So I think I gained a lot of weight during pregnancy, and then postpartum, like the immediate postpartum weeks, like 6 to 12 weeks, I was like, not, I didn't experience that immediate weight loss that some people do. Right. Mm-hmm. I was like, did he even come out? You know, like I thought it'd feel like something different. But was I fueling my body as well as I could have? No, I don't think I don't think I was at all. I wasn't eating enough.
Yeah.
And I wasn't eating enough of the right things. You know, it was just like survival mode. I remember eating till like 2 o'clock. And then at about, I want to say like 6 months postpartum, six, seven, 8 months, I was really small, like too small. There was nothing left to me, I felt like. I know some people say like, oh, breastfeeding is awesome, you lose all this weight, right? Like for me, I didn't lose it right away. A lot of lifestyle, you know, I have a background in this, but it wasn't that I didn't know how to exercise or be healthy, it's that I couldn't get myself to that place for, like I said, a good 6 months to like find my stride and start taking care of myself.
Mm-hmm.
To do it again, I would do that way earlier.
Yeah.
Way earlier, because I was much more happier taking care of myself too, right? And like, he's gonna be okay if I do a workout, he's gonna be okay you know, if I'm plunking him in the stroller and doing a walk. And so I really found my stride at that 6 month mark, and then I really felt like that is also the same time that breastfeeding like took everything out of me.
Yes.
everything I was
I
like
felt the same way too. I had people, you look amazing, did you lose weight? I'm like, I really love, thank you so much for the compliment.
Yes.
And I don't want it to be negative or women to be like, oh, she's complaining about losing weight, but I'm losing weight the wrong way.
Yes. I had like no butt.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm not fueling myself properly. I am not doing my daily exercise. And I feel like I'm withering away.
Yes.
And I don't like that feeling.
Yeah.
But I know it's not forever.
Mm-hmm.
I'll get up to where I want to be eventually. Mm-hmm. But I'm not complaining about losing weight. I'm complaining how the way I'm losing it.
But those comments irked me a lot when people would comment on what I looked like.
Well, like you having like, I would consider you to be like now an influencer for sure on Instagram.
Thanks.
The amount of people that you already have commenting I see on everything, that would definitely irk me.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, was it to your own business?
And I find that it's generally like with good intentions. Right. Okay. It's like, oh, you're so skinny. Oh my God. Did you just have a baby? Like,
definitely,
you know, and it's a kind of an uncomfortable feeling. It's like, why are you looking at me? Like, why are you looking at my, you know, I don't know. I was just, I just found it really irked me when people comment on what I looked like after having a child, as if it's a good thing, especially like talking
you're
about
not
feeling
used to your
like
new body.
Yes. Yeah. And maybe like, you don't know how that woman really feels.
Yeah.
Right. It's like, as we were saying, like I look at myself and I see that I'm so small, not in the way that I want to be, like so small that like, I'm depleted, right? Yeah. And so to be like, oh, you look so good. It's like, can we just not? Yeah. I know it's with good intentions, I know. Definitely. But until you are someone that has had a child, you know, in that immediate first year too, it's like, just don't.
I know it's so hard because it's like any form. Any form of advice. It's like, I know this is from love and support, but I don't want to fucking hear it.
No. It's weird.
It is weird.
I know. It's just, again, that's like a societal thing of like to pay attention to how a woman looks after having a baby.
Why?
Bounce back. God. Like all of those things.
Bounce back. Do this workout to get
there's
back.
There's no such thing.
No.
There's no such thing.
No.
It's
This brings us to the end.
Mm.
That was good. Thank you so much for coming on.
Yes, thanks for having me.
Yeah, and hopefully I'm totally down to do like future ones too.
Yeah, we should talk about postpartum.
More.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to episode 9. Please stay tuned in for next week as I'll be releasing my last episode for season 1.